Exodus chapter 23 in your Bibles. Amen. We're talking about love. Amen. We're talking about divine love, mountain moving love. This is the last message in the series, as a matter of fact. We've talked for the past, it's taken us 3 months to get through it. It's about 2 months worth of teaching. I guess it's taken us close to 3 months to get through it. And it's been good. Say, it's been good, Pastor. Even if you weren't here, say, it's been good, Pastor. Because you know it had to be good because it's based on the Word. That's all we give you around here is the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word coming up in the things of God. As a baby Christian, I got the revelation right away. Give me Scripture or give me nothing. Remember that, you ever see that New Hampshire license plate? What does it say? Live free or die. Amen. I say, give me Scripture or let me die. I'm going to have that put on my license plate. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the Word. Jesus said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Matthew chapter 18. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. The Apostle Paul said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Moses said it in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, I believe. I'll get you in the neighborhood. You check the address. Amen. You check these references. Moses said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That means if someone's teaching the Bible and they're not giving you two or three, preferably three, confirming witnesses, preferably from the New Testament, you shouldn't be believing it. You shouldn't be listening to it. Amen? And you shouldn't be sharing it with other people. We endeavor to give you two or three confirming verses for every doctrine that we teach you. Amen? You know what? You know why Moses said that? And why Paul said that? And why Jesus said that? So somebody like me can't come along and deceive you. Amen? Even Jesus, if Jesus appears to you, you think it's really Jesus? He'll be willing to give you two or three confirming verses of Scripture for everything that he tells you, and he won't be insulted if you ask him. He'll be proud of you. He says, that's my girl. That's my boy. Amen? And you know, the Apostle Paul said, now, we have a rule here, $2 fine for reading while the pastor's preaching. We do have a demerit system. Amen? Hallelujah. We've had to write people up before. People, hallelujah. We've had people busted right in the service. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't let people sleep, and we don't let people read while they're here. And we don't let them eat. No snacks in the sanctuary. No sleeping, no eating, no reading. We came for the preaching, didn't we? I prepared for the past 3 days. I've been preparing for tonight. Amen? So, stay with me. Amen? No reading, no sleeping. I said to somebody one time, wake that guy up. He said, you wake him up, you put him to sleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've seen that divine love is a fruit of the new birth. Way back yonder in lesson number one. Amen? We've seen that divine love. We have a new covenant with God based upon divine love. No more Torah, no more Pentateuch, no more five books of the law. But Jesus said, one new commandment I've given to you. Not 1,050 like the Hebrews had to follow and observe. One new commandment I've given unto you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. Amen? We had a whole lesson based on that. We can't go back and reteach that. We talked about divine love, mountain moving love, and forgiveness. No forgiveness, no mountain moving miracles in your life. Amen? We have to forgive people when they wrong us and when they offend us. We can't fight back. We can't fight back. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't go launching those heat-seeking missiles after people who persecute you, because they'll find their way right back to your own tailpipe. I said, when we launch heat-seeking missiles at other people, they'll find their way right back to our own tailpipe. Amen? Peter said, bless those who revile you. Bless those who persecute you. Jesus said, bless those who speak all manner of evil falsely against you. And Paul said, pray godly sorrow for them. Amen? That's how we fight back. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul said, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. We bless our persecutors. Just like this, we say, I bless you in Jesus' name. And then say, Father, put sorrow in the heart, if you would, please, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Put sorrow in their heart for what they did so that they'll come to repentance, so that they'll judge themselves, so you won't have to judge them for what they did to me, Father. You get that? Hallelujah. We can't go back and reteach that. We talked about divine love and divine benefits. Supernatural prosperity is available to us if we'll walk in love. Supernatural health and healing is available to us if we'll walk in love. And longevity, perpetuity is available to us if we will walk in love. We're going to be talking a little bit more tonight about long life, divine love, and human health. I think I'm going to be focusing a little bit more. We're going to read some scriptures together, and I'm going to show you from the Bible that there's no set time for you to die. There's no set time for you or me to die. God doesn't have a set time for any of us to die. I know that upsets some people's theology, kicks over some sacred cows. But there is no set time for us to die. We'll see that from the scripture tonight. God has not predetermined when you're going to die. We predetermine when we're going to die. We determine how long, within reason, we're going to stay on this earth. You'll see that from the Word of God. We'll cover that a little bit more tonight. We talked about divine love and self-judgment. Amen? The importance of discerning Christ's body, judging ourselves, in the way we treat Christ's body, so that we don't have to be judged. You know, Paul said over there, people see it primarily, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as the Lord's Supper passage, a communion passage over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But Paul was talking to the Corinthians over there about discerning not just the Lord's physical body, but His spiritual body. We are His spiritual body. And if we don't walk in love toward one another, we're not discerning His body. That word discern means to see and understand. We're not seeing one another as Christ's body if we don't walk in love towards one another. We're not discerning one another as Christ's body if we're not walking in love toward one another. When we don't walk in love toward one another, we don't walk in love towards Christ because we are His body. Paul said, when we don't walk in love toward one another, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, for you note takers, we read it over there multiple times. He said, for this reason, for not discerning Christ's body, spiritual body, properly, for this reason, the majority of you are dead. That's what he said. He said sleep, but it means dead. You look the word up in the Greek. He said, for this reason, the majority of you are dead, and the majority of you who remain are weak and sick and broke. Because you don't discern the Lord's body, meaning you don't walk in love toward one another. That's what he told the Corinthians. Because you don't walk in love towards one another, for this reason, he said, the majority of you are dead. The majority of Christian people in this earth today who died prematurely are dead because they've not walked in love toward the body. They've not discerned the body. The principle is still true today. I'm sorry to tell you that the cemeteries of the world are full of dead people, Christian people, who died prematurely for not walking in love, not properly discerning the Lord's body, and it's not God's will for them to be there. Get that CD and you'll be blessed, amen? Oh, the importance of walking in love. But oh, the grace when we haven't been. Oh, the grace when we haven't been and we see it. You know, it's hallelujah. It's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay wrong when you see that you are wrong. It's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay wrong when you see that you are wrong. If you've not been discerned in the Lord's body, you've not been walking in love. There's no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit now and not after the flesh. Just ask God to forgive you. Amen. He'll let you start all over. He'll let you start all over. Judge yourself, Paul said. And the very next verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, he said, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. Meaning, if you start walking in love toward one another, judge yourself and start walking in love, repent for not walking in love, God won't judge you. He'll forgive you. And you can open the spout one more time where the blessings come out. Did you follow that? We absolutely must discern the body of Christ as being Christ's spiritual body. Colossians 1:18 says, we are His body, the church. He has a physical body, just like your physical body, only perfected. And He has a spiritual body, and that be you, and that be me. And Paul said, when we don't discern or see and understand that we are the body of Christ and walk in love towards one another, for this reason, he said, the majority of you are dead. And the majority who remain are sick and broke and weak. You can do something about that. It's called walking in love. That's all walking in the Spirit really is walking in love. Now, where did I ask you to go in the Bible? Hallelujah. I had a woman one time. You won't want to miss this. Hallelujah. And if you've been reading, there's grace and forgiveness for you. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have a real will around here. Amen. I just forgive you. Hallelujah. If you don't want to miss this, I prayed for a lady one time in Burlington, Vermont. She had a tumor in her eye. The doctor took the little reading thing. Giving everybody a chance to pay attention, not miss this. He took the little eye thing, he looked in her eye, and he said, oh, my goodness, you've got a tumor in the back of your eye as big as your eye. She had headaches all the time. She had a tumor in her breast, and she had a tumor on the back of her leg. Three tumors. Tumor in her eye as big as her eye, behind her eyeball. She came up for prayer, so I prayed for her. Now, I'm not boasting in anything other than what the Lord has done. We're talking about divine love here tonight, human health. Amen? I prayed for her, and within 2 weeks, all three of those tumors disappeared. She went back to the doctor. He took the little thing. He looked in there. Oh, my goodness, that tumor that was as big as your eye is gone. She said that the same time I checked my breast and checked my leg, and they were gone too. All three of them were gone. She came to our services not very many times. Her daughter had been coming to church, and her daughter got her to come to church. And I was preaching on divine healing, that we have a healing covenant with Almighty God if we'll walk in love. She came up for prayer, and that was within 2 weeks, all three were gone. I thought, that's pretty good, God. She came up to me and gave me the testimony, all three tumors of God are gone. All three tumors after another service. She came back 2 weeks later. After the service, she came walking up to me at the car in the parking lot, and she said to me, oh, three of them are gone. But I don't know if you're from God or from Satan. She said, that is the most supernatural. I've never seen anything supernatural in my life like that before. And she said, I don't know if that was God or Satan. I don't know if you're of God or of Satan. I said, sister, you don't want to say that. You need to just wake up. You need to awake unto righteousness. What am I preaching in here? Christ or Satan? Who am I promoting around here? You don't want to say that. You don't want to come and accuse me of something like that. That's not discerning the Lord's body. Can you not tell I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Him crucified in none other? I just don't know. I don't know. I think it's Satan. That's what she said. I think it's Satan. That was so. Bless some people's darling, dumb hearts. Well, within about a month, I would say, all three tumors reappeared. All three tumors reappeared. She fell out of fellowship with us. She fell out of fellowship with God. What is wrong with some people? Amen? Hallelujah. She couldn't discern the Lord's body. She couldn't discern the Lord's word. Amen? Why did I give you that testimony? Because the Lord put it on my heart to do it, to help somebody in here. Amen? Hallelujah. She got out of love. She get into fear over that. And get out. She became one of our greatest enemies and one of our greatest persecutors. Did she not? She became so hateful towards us. Because of a supernatural healing. Because she couldn't discern God's word. She couldn't discern Christ's body. Aren't you glad you don't have that problem? what in the world am I preaching in here? The things people have done to us here on Cape Cod. The accusations they've brought against us. Come and sit in a service for months, sit in these services, and go out of here telling people I'm full of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Let's not go into it. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to discern. You know, you die for that. Paul said, for this reason, the majority of you are dead prematurely, and the majority who remain are sick and weak and broke. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't have that problem? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, it's one thing for God to provide divine healing. It's another thing to receive it. I said it's one thing for God to provide it. It's another thing for man to receive it. Amen. There's a Godward side and there's a manward side to every promise of God. We must walk in love and believe to receive. If we will walk in love and believe the proper preaching and teaching of God's Word, God will confirm it. But if we won't walk in love, He won't confirm it. Amen? Faith works by... Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love, and faith is released through the mouth. Amen? Over here, you just be believing God with me for this message. Amen? Where did I ask you to go to? All right. How many times did I ask you to go there? This is the third time? I'm asking for grace tonight. We won't go until I say it for the fourth time, because I want to tell you, as I was preparing this message, I came across a story of another woman. I probably told it to you before. She had been to, in the 50s and 60s, she had respiratory problems. I think she was in her 60s. She had respiratory problems and stomach ailment for 25 years. Couldn't digest food properly. Couldn't breathe and get deep breaths properly. Just couldn't do it. 25 years. She went to every healing evangelist in this country and had, she said, she's a wealthy woman. She went to every healing evangelist in America at the time. Now, I don't know who in this room is acquainted with the healing revival of the 40s and 50s in this country. It came out of what God did through Oral Roberts. And at the time, there were over 100 healing evangelists crisscrossing this country in tents. Some of them in huge tents, some of them in small tents, but they all had tents. A.A. Allen had a tent, a canvas circus tent. It was the biggest tent in the world at the time, sat 22,000 people. She had him lay hands on her. She said practically every healing evangelist in the country laid hands on me. She'd get in the car or get on a plane and go. She's trying to get healed. Nothing. For years, she decided she was going to go to Kenneth Hagin's meeting one time. He was a teacher, not just a preacher. Those healing evangelists were preachers. They proclaimed the word with signs following. But he's a teacher. He explained the word, taught the word. She sat in that meeting for a week, and she realized what her problem was. After all these years of having healing evangelists who had notable signs, wonders, and miracles, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, these folks raised the dead. Nothing for this old girl. Nothing. So she get into Kenneth Hagin's meeting, and she listened to him teach for one solid week, and she realized, I know what my problem is. I'm not walking in love. I got unforgiveness in my life. She had a brother. They had a spat by telephone 25 years earlier. She said it was the stupidest, most ridiculous thing. And we stayed at odds with one another for 25 years. She realized that's when I started getting sick. That's when I started having respiratory problems and having stomach problems. Now I know what my solution is. I need to repent to my brother. She left the morning meeting, went to her hotel room. She was from another state over at his meeting. Called her brother on the phone and reconciled things in minutes. And she said to her, she said, I called him and I said, you forgive me? He said, no, you forgive me. It was stupid. And she said, okay, we're both stupid. It was just ridiculous to not have fellow. And she said they were both born again Christians. And for 25 years, they refused to talk to one another over a stupid spat When she got off the phone, she said peace came, and she said, now I can go to Brother Hagin's meeting tonight. I'm going to lay down, I'm going to take a nap, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to let him lay hands on me, and I'm going to receive my healing. And she laid down, she took a nap. And when she woke up, she said, every symptom, didn't even have to go to the meeting, every symptom of sickness was gone for the first time in 25 years. No sour stomach, no respiratory problems, able to take deep breaths. She had been healed. How? By the laying on of hands? By the gifts of healings? The working of miracles? Anointing with all? The prayer of faith? The prayer of agreement? Praying to the Father in Jesus' name? Nope. By faith, which worketh by love. Hallelujah. We could close with that tonight. There's enough revelation in that to last you till Jesus comes. Faith works by love. Hallelujah. She was blocking the spout where the healing came out. No wonder these powerful healing evangelists couldn't help her. Hallelujah. We have a healing covenant with God. Hallelujah. I wish we had two more hours to talk about it here tonight. Amen. But I've asked you to go over here to Exodus 23. Okay. I need even greater grace tonight. I don't want to go to Exodus chapter 23. I want to go to 1 John. Can we do that? Just want you to read some scriptures with me. We will. Now, you can mark your place there at Exodus because we will end up there ultimately. Amen? Hallelujah. How am I doing? Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, I really love you, man. Thank you. I really love you too. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter. I know you mean it too. Hallelujah. You don't just say it because I tell you to. Amen? You really love me, man. You love your brothers and sisters? Are you developing your love life? Amen? Are you practicing divine love even when those times come when you would prefer anything else to it? Are you? I know Barbara and I are. Hallelujah. Barbara's better at it than I am. Hallelujah. But I'm learning. Amen? I told you, every time we have a spat, she's the first one down on her hands and knees, comes crawling right to me. Crawling right to me. Just the way I like it. And she says, get out from under that bed and repent like a man. Hallelujah. Look at right here. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. See, it's in there. When you're born again, there's a love for the brethren imparted to you supernatural. It's called the love of God. He comes and lives on the inside of you. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, talking about Christians here, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If we don't love the brethren, if we don't discern Christ's body and love the brethren, the Bible says we're murderers. Murderers. That's what the Bible says. According to the Bible, church pews all across America and the world are filled with murderers. Because they don't walk in love toward one another. They don't discern the body. Amen? The Bible also says haters do not have eternal life abiding on the inside of them. Amen? Now, I'm just reading the Bible, so you're not going to get mad at me, are you? Let me hear it again. Pastor! Oh, I really love you, man. Hallelujah. Look over here. 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to read some scriptures. This is good. Isn't it? Faith works by love. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Oh, hallelujah. The love that God hath to us. God is love. Please say, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. See, no love, no God. God is love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Jesus isn't holding grudges. Are you? Amen? You got anything that needs to come out at the root tonight? Amen? This is the time. This is the place. Jesus doesn't hold grudges. The Bible says only by walking in love during our probationary period here on planet Earth can we have boldness in the day of judgment. What judgment is he talking about? Well, unbelievers go to the great white throne judgment. Believers go to the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema judgment seat of Christ. That word Bema means reward. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8 through 10. And you also find it in Romans 14, 10. Amen? I know Betty knew what it was. I put her on the spot. Amen? Only by walking in love during this probationary period on earth are we going to have boldness when it comes time to face Him at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. It's a judgment of reward where we're going to have rewards given to us or we're going to have rewards taken away from us, all based upon how effectively we walked in love while we were in this earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's reason to change right there, isn't it? We are going to spend eternity based upon how effective we were in our love walk on planet Earth. Everybody say, man, I got to get better at this. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 20. Jump down. We're just reading Scripture. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. Church pews all across America, in the world, filled with haters, murderers, and liars. I didn't say it, John did, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that's not the problem in this place, aren't you? Hallelujah. The Bible says if we don't walk in love, we hate, we lie, and we murder. Bible says liars have no inheritance. The Bible says murderers have no inheritance. Whew. Hallelujah. Okay. Go to Exodus chapter 23. I think. Amen. Hallelujah. I've just come with some scriptures for you here tonight to bless you. Amen. Nobody in here is in any trouble that I know of. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all walking in love, far as I can tell, amen? If you curl up your nose, though, and make ugly faces when I say these things, I know you're probably in trouble. So just keep a sweet face. Try not to turn red. I won't know anything unless the Holy Ghost tells me. Amen? Say, Pastor, I really love you, man. Are you there in Exodus 23? And ye shall, verse 25... He said to Israel, ye shall serve the Lord your God through the law, the Pentateuch, the Torah. He's talking to them. You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness right away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast thy young nor be barren in thy lands. The number of thy days I will fulfill. He said, if you serve me through the law. Of course, love is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. We know that, don't we? We learn that through this series if we didn't know it before. Love, walking in love in the New Testament, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Jesus said, one new commandment I give you now, that you love one another as I love you. So we could read this way. If you'll walk in love, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Can you see that? God promises to take sickness away from the midst of us if we walk in love. Somebody asked me here recently. They said, somebody's asked me this before. It's not the first person who's asked me this. They said, Pastor, how are we going to die if we get healed every time we're sick? And I said, you'll stop breathing, silly. You don't have to get sick to go to heaven. The Bible says Abraham gave up the ghost. The Bible says Isaac gave up the ghost. The Bible says Jacob gave up the ghost. The Bible says in Mark chapter 15 on the cross, Jesus gave up the ghost. You know that Jesus didn't die of his injuries on the cross? Do you realize that? He did not die of his injuries on the cross. If Jesus was going to die of his injuries, he would have died at the whipping post. They ripped him wide open and pulled his vital organs right out of the inside of him. And then they made him carry that cross up Golgotha with his blood pump, pumping what little blood he had left out through those major wounds. They ripped his flesh from the top of his shoulders down below his buttocks, ripped his flesh right off of his back. Anybody else would have bled to death hours and hours before Jesus died. You realize that? He stayed alive through that supernaturally. Because he wasn't ready to give up the ghost yet. Remember he said in John chapter 18, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly and I give it up. I take it up again. He wasn't ready to die. I don't believe he had but just enough blood left in his body when that soldier pierced his rib. What little came out was all that was left. It was not enough to be alive. When Jesus said, it is finished, he gave up the ghost. We don't have to be sick to die. We just give up the ghost like Abraham did in fullness of years. Amen? And if we'll walk in love, I didn't say sickness won't come against you because it will, and it does. But we can resist it, and we can believe for healing, and we don't have to die of sickness. Sickness comes from the devil, not from God. John 10:10. God doesn't need Satan's help to get his family home. You just give up the ghost. That means your spirit leaves your body. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. You just give up the ghost. And your body falls to the ground. We got to do something with it now. Amen? We put it in the earth to be kept for safekeeping until Jesus comes to complete the plan of redemption and raise it from the dead again. I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God here tonight. You don't have to be sick to die. It is God's will to heal. But it's only going to happen as we walk in love. And I also want you to see over here, if you would, real quick. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Look at these scriptures with me. I won't keep you much longer. I want you to know that by walking in love, God guarantees long life. Long life. Long life for love walkers. Amen? But not for haters, not for liars, and not for murderers. Amen? Bible says if we don't walk in love, we're liars, haters, and we're murderers. Amen? Liars, haters, and murderers have no inheritance. But lovers, on the other hand, have tremendous, tremendous, tremendous covenant provision. Now, I said to you earlier, you're in Proverbs 3. You're not reading because you don't want the merits. Amen? I said to you earlier, God has not predetermined when you're going to die. If God predetermined, if there was a set time for you to die, please think about this. If there was a set time for you to die, you couldn't add to it or take away from it, could you? If God had a set time for you to die, could you add to that time? If God said you're going on July 27, 2011 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if God had determined that and decreed that and prophesied that, you couldn't add to that, could you? You couldn't go before and you couldn't go after because God decreed it. Well, God hasn't because the Bible says you can add years to your life by walking in love and staying exposed to the Word of God. Let's just look at it. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3, 16. Talking about wisdom. Wisdom is God's word. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is love. Amen. God is love. God is his word. Length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand, riches in honor. Length of days. Length, that word length means to draw out and to tarry. If we will walk in love, as wisdom decrees that we should and we must, we can draw out our days on the earth. We can tarry here longer than folks who don't walk in love. How could wisdom add length to your years if God had already predetermined to set time for you to go? Couldn't. The Bible's not contradicting itself here. Amen? Proverbs chapter 9. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 11. Look at this. Wisdom again, God's word, love. For by me, verse 11, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. How can you increase your stay on the earth if God has a set time for you to die? He doesn't have a set time for you to die. You determine, I determine, we determine how long we're going to walk in this earth by walking in love and walking according to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 10. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. I'm telling you tonight that you can increase your stay here on this earth if you want to by walking in love. Amen? Are you there in Proverbs 10? Verse 27. The fear of the Lord, that word fear is respect in love. The respect and love of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. If God has a set time for you to die, how can you walk in love and lengthen it? How can you refuse to walk in love and shorten it? If he has a set, he doesn't have a, he knows when you're going to go, he knows when you're going to give up the ghost, but he doesn't determine it. You do, I do. By walking in love. Can you see that? To say that God has a predetermined set time for you to die is to contradict Scripture. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. I have a homework assignment for you because I can't keep you any longer here tonight. Or at least not much longer. If you would go read Psalm 90, write this down in your notes. You do this as your homework assignment, if you would. If you will read Psalm 90, verse 10, in conjunction with Numbers 14, 29 through 36, read them together. In Psalm 90, verse 10, Moses is complaining that they were only living 70 and 80 years. He was complaining, saying, it's not long enough, Lord. And the reason they were only living 70 or 80 years in the wilderness is because they had a curse placed on them. You read the curse in Numbers 14, 29 through 36. Is that what I said? You go read in there where God told them, okay, now, because you've rebelled against my leadership, you rebelled against my man Moses, no one over 20 is going to live for 40 years. You will wander in this wilderness for 40 years. Everybody over 20 will die during that time. And only those under 20 will enter into the promised land. That's what happened. Their average age was 30 to 40 years old, which meant they were dying after the 40 years passed when they were 70 and 80 years old. Moses was complaining when he said the years of our lives are 70 and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Moses was, if you talk to me, people can't hear the questions on the recording. They can only hear the answers. Amen? The point, so I can't answer your question unless I repeat it. Amen? And I know that you didn't know that, Lynn. Amen? Hallelujah. So you get grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Give her a CD on the way out so she knows we still love her. Amen. It was a complaint that because of the curse of rebellion, they're only living 70 or 80 years. They knew it was God's will to live. He knew it was God's will to live even longer. How long? How long? Does the Bible say the blessings of Abraham are ours? Doesn't the Bible say that? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 25, I believe it's Genesis chapter 25, verse 7, Abraham lived 175 years. I know Benny Hinn teaches 120 and Gloria Copeland teaches 120. I'm okay with that too. But I'm not okay with 70 or 80 because Moses wasn't. It was a curse. Whatever you want to go for. But don't settle for 70 or 80 just because Psalm 90 verse 10 says that. Numbers 24, Numbers 14 verses 29 through 36 reveal that was a curse. That was a curse. We're supposed to add years to our lives by walking in love on this planet. Amen? People dying too soon. I see one face in this room that should be thinking of getting rid of all that stuff and going. It's premature. It's not time. It's premature. It's not time. Hallelujah. People are living more and more to be 100 years old outside a covenant with God. More and more all the time. We're believing God for Barbara's dad to be saved. He's made it so far to 95, is that right? Outside a covenant with God. What's he going to do when he hooks up with the covenant? Barbara says, what am I going to do? Hallelujah. You get the point, don't you? Hallelujah. Let me just say this. You know, go to Philippians chapter 1. You want to see this. Amen. I'm... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't like to see people give up too soon. Amen. God has work for us to do in the earth. Amen. Barbara said to me on the way to church tonight, she said, hallelujah, I'm approaching 60 years old and I'm just now feeling like I'm just getting it together. Thank God we're not supposed to die at 70 or 80 years old. Hallelujah. 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 So straighten up and fly right and you'll end up where you want to be. Amen. Healthy and with perpetuity. What does perpetuity mean? Look at what Paul said right here. We're talking about the fact that God does not have a predetermined set time for you to die. You can add to or take years away from your life. The Bible says in Psalm 55:23, if you want to write it down, that bloody and deceitful men will not live out half their lives. Wicked people cut their lives in half. How could they do that if God had a set time for them to die? Now you're looking at Philippians chapter 1 with me, something Paul said in verse 21. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Are you there? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot or I know not. Look what he said, what I shall choose. He's talking about whether to stay on this planet or to go. He said it's up to me. And it's up to you. Look at the next verse. I am in a strait betwixt or between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Say to be with Christ is far better. You know the Bible says all your loved ones who died in Christ are in a far better situation than they were when they were here. Amen? So quit your grieving if you have been grieving. Amen? You'll catch up with them. I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what he's saying right here? Say, I'm not sure what to do at this stage in my life. To die now and go on and be with Christ, which is far better. Or stay here and keep teaching you deadheads. And he said, I think I'll stay. It was his choice. Listen, if God had a set time for Paul to die, how could he teach something like that in Scripture? Because God didn't have a set time. Paul added years to his life through wisdom and by walking in love. You can do the same thing. And in closing, let me just say one final word about families in divine love. Amen? Some believers walk in love towards other believers, but they don't walk in love toward their family. Amen? That's part-time obedience. You hearing me? You still love me? I've been shouting a lot up here tonight, I know. Hallelujah. You have to walk in love towards your family members too. Amen? We see it all the time. I have to be careful in my marriage. Watchful I have to be. To walk in love toward my wife too. She's my sister first. She's my wife second. Amen? We have to walk in love toward family members. If we can be walking in love towards the entire... You know, some people really believe that they don't have to walk in love toward family members. Towards their wives, toward their children. Fathers in particular, Paul admonished in Ephesians chapter 6, to not provoke their children to wrath because dads have a tendency to nitpick and major on minors and do that. And Paul said, don't do that, Dad. You'll drive them off. They'll grow to hate you and they won't love me. We have to walk in love towards family members. I always say, part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. If you're not walking in love towards your family in the same way that you walk in love toward the body, then that's part-time obedience, and part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. You're not walking in love. Well, I just need to say that because the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Amen? Children need to obey their parents. It's the first commandment with a blessing. That's why Barbara got healed the way that she did of that cancer. Do you know that God said, children, obey your parents? He said it in Exodus 20 and Ephesians chapter 6, for it's the first commandment with a blessing, is to obey your parents. She's taking good care of her dad and mom all their lives, treated them with respect and dignity and honor, put them before herself. And when the devil attacked her with cancer, the Lord gave Maurice that vision, showed him that spider, back away. They went in, no cancer in her lymph system, it's gone. She just got it reconfirmed again today. It's gone, it's still gone, and it ain't a coming back. Because she walks in love. Well, glory be to God. Amen. Truth is truth. So, you have to walk in love toward the brethren. Have to walk in love toward your own family. Stand up if you would, please. And you know who else you have to walk in love towards? Yourself. Self-unforgiveness is still unforgiveness. Amen? You are the body of Christ. Say, I'm the body of Christ. If you're harboring ill will towards yourself for something stupid you did, and you think you're doing God a favor by not forgiving yourself, you're cursing yourself. Amen? Amen? God commands you to discern His body. You are His body. If you are refusing to forgive yourself for something you did wrong, however long ago it was, you are harboring ill will against the body of Christ, and you need to let that go. Amen? So the love series ends, but the love walk continues. Amen? It just begins here. Amen? It's not over till it's over. Yogi Berra. Remember him? Hallelujah. I suppose I should also say that divine love has never seen the inside of a divorce court either, and never will. Amen? All problems are solvable. Now, if you've been divorced, I've been divorced. I came to the Lord. I was married to a woman who didn't want to know the Lord. She said, you give up Jesus, I'll come home. I said, I can't do that. That was our problem to begin with. I cannot do that. I won't break covenant. She's gone. I'm not putting down people who have been divorced. If you've been divorced, the thing was a flop, let it go. But if you're in a marriage now, it's God's will for you to stay in it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, test, or trial can possibly come into your life, but that which is common to man. And with every temptation, test, and trial, God is faithful. He will provide the means of escape. He'll get you through whatever you're going through in your marriage. In your family, He'll get you through. If only you will believe. You just keep on walking in love. You just keep on walking in love. Keep on walking in love. And when you get out of love and you fall down, repent and get back up again. God is not nearly as concerned with the falling down as He is with the getting up. Just get up and do it again. Amen? Just stand up. He'll brush you off. He'll say, okay, let's go, girl. Let's do it again. Let's go, boy. Let's do it again. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, maybe through this series, whether you sat through it all or just a part of it, you've seen you've not been walking in love. You see what your problem is. You've not been walking in love. Let me just say it to you again. It's okay to be wrong. But it's not okay to stay wrong once you see that you are wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship Him. Would you please? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I can't do it, Pastor. I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. You can walk in love if you're born again. Because the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost who's been given to you. Say, I'm a lover.
I'm a lover.
Not a hater.
Not a hater.
I'm a lover.
I'm a lover.
I'm a forgiver.
I'm a forgiver.
I'm a lover.
I'm a lover.
Not a hater.
Not a hater.
I walk in love.
I walk in love.
I walk in love.
I walk in love.
Even when those times come,
even when those times come,
when I would prefer,
when I would prefer
anything else to it.
Else to
Father,
Father,
let your love flow through me.
Towards my persecutors.
Towards my haters.
My
accusers.
My accusers.
And those who have spoken falsely against me. Let your love flow through me. I'm a blesser, not a dammer. I'm a lover. I'm a lover. In Jesus' strong name.
In Jesus' strong name.